You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A federal appeals court yesterday rebuked the state of Michigan and the Attorney General's office for the latest attempt to thwart the release of more than 200 juvenile lifers in our state. In the case Hill versus Snyder, the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that Michigan is violating the Constitution by denying good time and disciplinary credits to the so-called juvenile lifers. These are the prisoners who were under age 18 when they were sentenced to life in prison without parole. Now, denying those credits further delays parole hearings for the juvenile lifers, which defies two landmark U.S. Supreme Court rulings. Judge Jane Brandstetter Stranch of the 6th scolded the state. She said, and I quote, "This should be the last skirmish in this long dispute. It is well past time to put to rest litigation tactics and further delay." Attorney Deb LaBelle was a plaintiff's attorney in this case. Deb, first of all, what are these good time and disciplinary credits? What do they mean to these juvenile lifers?
So, astonishingly, the majority of people who went in as children with no hope of ever getting out because they originally had mandatory life without parole sentences, they actually served their time with so little misconduct and so positively that they accumulated credits for their good behavior, either for not getting discipline or just simply, you know, extraordinarily good behavior while they were in there, which translated to, if they ever got a term of year sentence, that they could get some up to 10, 15 years off their sentence. And so what the state of Michigan did is, although they give these to everyone in the prison, that has earned them. When the United States Supreme Court said the sentence for these youth was cruel and unusual punishment, that you couldn't put them away for life, that they had to get resentenced, and the majority of them got term of years, that the state said, we're going to take away your good time and disciplinary credits. And so we challenged that, saying, you know, these of all people, you know, where it was so difficult to have hope and do well, why would you want to deprive the best of them the earliest opportunity to go to the parole board? So we have fought that issue for a number of years, and we fought it in the state courts in Michigan, and we fought it in the federal courts, and this is a decision that says enough. Give them their good time and disciplinary time, which, you know, translates to earlier time before the parole board. And for the parole board, every person, every one of these youth that has gone before the parole board in Michigan to determine whether they can be safely released, all but one have been immediately recommended for parole.
Now, as we mentioned at the top of this, Judge Stranch of the appeals court said this should be the last skirmish, and I'm going to quote her here, this long dispute, it is well past time to put to rest litigation tactics and further delay. You have been advocating on behalf of Michigan's juvenile lifers ever since 2012 when the Supreme Court made that ruling that mandatory life without parole sentences are unconstitutional for juveniles. So how has the Attorney General's office under Bill Schuette responded over these past 6 years to these Supreme Court rulings? I guess I'm wondering, what earned this rebuke from the federal appeals court?
Well, I think that every step of the way, this Attorney General's office has fought against giving youth a second chance, every step. And they have lost every step of the way. So first they opposed. They said, no, it's not cruel and unusual punishment. They should die in prison. Well, they lost that on the Supreme Court, and Bill Schuette actually filed the amicus brief on behalf of some attorney generals fighting that. And then almost all the states in the country said, okay, let's resentence. That's what we have to do. But again, this attorney general led the charge to say, no, it shouldn't be applied retroactively, so the 362 in Michigan, the second highest in the world, should die in prison. And he again led the charge for the attorney general's writing in a brief in the Supreme Court, and again lost. And then when we come back down here and they start a legislation on how to do this, they have again fought every step of the way against a very simple principle, which is people who go into prison for acts they committed as children should have an opportunity to show they're rehabilitated and can come out safely. They should have that opportunity. And that's the fight. And I'm afraid that despite Judge Stranch's, I think you characterized it correctly, the Attorney General has advised us that they are going to seek a cert petition in the U.S. Supreme Court of this decision.
No, tell me what are they seeking, just so we're all clear?
Well, so despite this court saying that this should be the last time, put this to rest, the Attorney General's office have an application in the Michigan Supreme Court on this very issue, asking the Michigan Supreme Court to reverse the Court of Appeals decision, saying give them their good time credits. And they've stated on the record that they're going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court to appeal this decision of the Sixth Circuit.
From your perspective, Dabblebell, what is going on with this whole pattern that you're describing?
You know, I wish I understood it. I mean, I, of course, represent the youth and have seen, as has the Michigan Parole Board, seen extraordinary efforts to grow, rehabilitate, and be people who can come back into our community. And, you know, as you know, Cynthia, we've done this before. A third of these youth never committed a homicide themselves. The punishment that they got was extremely harsh. The U.S. Supreme Court has said, cruel and unusual punishment, it's unconstitutional. I don't know what drives the desire to continue to punish them and not give them a chance. I understand that there was a lot of grandstanding about victims' families' rights, but we have so much support, and the youth have so much support from family members saying enough is enough. Give them a chance. We understand they were punished. We understand they were children. We are not opposed to them having the opportunity, if they've rehabilitated themselves, if they've done well, to have the parole board decide if it's safe to let them come home.
Deb, I know we were waiting on a decision from the Michigan Supreme Court on whether a judge or a jury should decide each person's new sentence. And we know the court ruled in June it's the judge that can decide. Might we expect to see a faster approach to these people being resentenced now?
Well, unfortunately, you know, to begin with, there was 362 who were told that they had a right to be resentenced. And that was in 2012. Miller said, it's unconstitutional.
That's the Supreme Court decision.
The Supreme Court. And over 2 years ago, the Supreme Court said again, for those 363 in Michigan, they have a right to be resentenced. We are now over 2 years past that decision, and over half of the people, almost 60%, have yet to be resentenced. Over half. Those who have been resentenced, as I've said, almost everyone that could go to the parole board said, good to go. You're doing really well. And they're out, they're working, they're part of our communities again, and it's a really wonderful thing to see. But over 60%, over 200 are waiting just to be able to demonstrate, and almost all of them have earned extraordinary amount of good time, and they're just waiting to demonstrate. And we have a few counties who are continuing to resist the Supreme Court's ruling that only the rarest of those who are convicted of this offense should be kept in forever, and everybody else is entitled to an opportunity to be resentenced. And you know, I have to tell you, I don't understand, because this decision, you know, I went to the Attorney General's office and I said, listen, this is a win-win. The good time accumulated by these children, now adults, is over 1,000 years. Over 1,000 years spread across all of them. That is an enormous savings to the state. If, in fact, as the parole board has been finding, they're completely rehabilitated, they have served 30-some years, but now they are able to go out into the community. And why would you want to keep them there at the cost to all of us of, you know, millions of dollars by denying them good time? Let's resolve this. And there was no no interest in that, no appetite to resolve it.
Attorney Deb LaBelle, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
And we reached out to Attorney General Bill Schuette's office, and they declined to comment.